Let's do this.
Facials are going to do 20% of the work and 80% is going to be from skincare at home. I always say skincare should be more about prevention than it should be like fixing issues. There's no cure for acne.
On Point.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of On Point. I'm your host, Taylor Burke, and today we have licensed esthetician for over 10 years and owner of his own skin and cosmetic brand. Please welcome Matthew Miller. Hi, Matt.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. I've been really excited. I've heard so much about you and your brand, and I can't wait to dive all into it.
Hey, I'm excited.
So before we like really get into like the nitty gritty, I would just love to hear like your journey.
So I started after I graduated aesthetic school. I moved to New York, and in the beginning of getting my license, I was in management and I was in education. I worked for a few spas, and I quickly realized what I wanted to do for my business, I wasn't able to do working under someone else. So in 2016, I opened my own studio and started doing skincare and facials out of there. And while I was still opening that, I went back to school for massage therapy to become dual licensed. And then 2018, I moved to LA, opened up here full time. I was going back and forth for a while between LA and New York, but COVID happened and then it just was easier to stay put in LA for now.
And do you still have a studio in New York City, or you're just primarily focused in LA?
Primary in LA. And if I go back to New York, I usually use someone else's space and do like a pop-up.
Did you always know you wanted to go into skincare?
I was in university for like a year and a half and just kept changing my majors and undecided. So I eventually just dropped out. So I thought I wanted to do makeup. So I went to aesthetic school because I was like, I might as well have some kind of formal training, and quickly realized I have no artistic ability at all and I cannot do makeup. So that quickly shifted when I started working on people for facials in school, and I was just getting really good feedback. And after graduation, that kind of just snowballed into the esthetician and skincare path I went down.
So you were working under someone for many years?
Yeah, for the first few years of my career, I was working for mainly one spa in New York City, and it was a good learning experience. It was very like heavy on discounts and just like a factory almost. So I needed that though. I needed to work on all the people, get acclimated with different skin types. And I also learned what I never want to do in my own business and what works. So when I did go solo, it was a lot easier for me to kind of navigate through clientele and treatments. And I had an understanding of what booking software I wanted to use. So while I hated it while I was there, I'm glad I went through it because I learned a lot working under someone else.
Totally. So my question to you, Matt, is while you were working there, what did you realize, okay, I don't want to do this? Or like, what was like the straw that broke the camel's back that was like, okay, I need to do my own thing?
Yeah. So for me, a lot of the spas I was working at, they were just owned by like business people. So it was all about numbers, which I get is important for business. But when you're working on skin and you're results oriented and you get 50 minutes in the treatment room, and then in that 10 minutes, you have to reset your room and sell clients, and it just became like something I hated doing. So I wanted to open up my own business to be able to take time with my clients, educate them on their skin, and not just pitch them a product and run back to the studio, but spend the time educating them on why they need the product and what it's doing for their skin. So for me, it was more of a matter of just not getting to express what I wanted to express within the realm I'm working in.
That's exactly why you have to do it, to learn what they do good and also what they do bad, so you don't implement their mistakes.
Exactly.
You are a little facial guru. So I really want to dive deep into that specific avenue. Talk to us what a facial does for the skin and why we should start adding them into our beauty routine.
Yes. So facials themselves are great. If you don't have any skin concerns, they're great to kind of just clean out the skin and refresh the skin. If I have clients that don't really have any major skin concerns, I might see them quarterly. For people that have more skin concerns like acne, pigmentation, those are the people I'll see more regularly because there's no cure for acne. So that's something that we just need to keep up with regularly in terms of treatments and what we're doing on the skin. And then things like pigmentation, those are usually really deep-rooted concerns for the skin. So those are something that we need to do a few treatments on people to really see results.
When a client comes in, has there ever been a time where like a client doesn't really need anything?
I have a lot of clients. I feel like they just come in for the self-care of it and the relaxation of it and just to gossip. Sometimes like I feel like a lot of my clients, we become like friendships almost when we see each other every month and getting a little me time, but also coming out with nice, glowy, fresh skin. I always say skincare should be more about prevention than it should be like fixing issues, because a lot of the times, once you get to a point where you have to start reversing things, it gets more expensive. It takes more time. Some treatments may require more downtime in terms of like healing. But yeah, I always try to get people to be more preventative with their facials and skincare so we don't have to focus on more as we start getting older, especially when those signs start coming out in our skin. A lot of that damage happened in our teens and 20s that you're going to be seeing in your 50s, 60s, 70s.
Right. Because you don't want to be like too far gone where it's like, okay, well, we can't reverse that. We can prevent it from getting worse, but we can't fix it. So we just don't want to get to that in the first place. Are there things a facial cannot do for the skin?
It really depends. Like here in California, estheticians and most estheticians in the United States, they can only work on the first layer of skin. So anything past that, you would go to like a dermatologist or some kind of doctor for medical aesthetics.
Why can you guys only work on the first layer of the skin? I didn't know this.
That's like the spectrum or scope of practice for estheticians most of the time. It goes state by state, but every state has their different guidelines for estheticians. So for example, I could do laser in New York, but I can't do it here. Our license doesn't allow it. And for most people in the country, you would have to go to like an RN or an NP for injectables because estheticians aren't authorized to do something like that. It's more of a medical space. So when it comes to like deep changes in the skin, when we're talking like skin tightening and skin elasticity and sagging, that's going to be more of deeper issues, which tend to be more of the nurses and the doctors. So aesthetics in general, we can pretty much help with everything. It just depends on who you're seeing to get the results you want.
Okay. So for the people who can't afford to do a regular facial and go to an esthetician, is there a way they can give themselves a facial at home? I know there's a huge thing where people go to the drugstores or Sephora or Ulta and they get the sheet mask. How often should we be doing those? Talk to us about that.
I always tell my clients anyway that skincare, when they come in for facials, that facials are going to do 20% of the work and 80% is going to be from skincare at home. It's the same analogy where if you see a personal trainer, you're not going to go one time and never go again and see results. It's the same idea. Anyone at home, I'd rather them be more simplistic with their skincare than go overboard. Like I see a lot of times now, especially with exfoliation, a lot of people still think like exfoliating is just you feel the grittiness in a scrub, but people don't also realize that it comes in chemical forms and enzymatic forms. So you'll be using a scrub and then they'll have a serum with more acids and then they'll have something else with more acids. It just becomes too much. So I always tell people to keep it simple what they're using already. So if they already have an exfoliant with like an exfoliating acid in it, you don't need more than one and you don't need to use that every day. Sheet masks are fine. I like them, especially when I'm flying. They're really just like serums on a sheet mask. But like you said, if someone's watching TV and want to have a little spa night or they're on a plane and they want to keep the hydration in, there's totally nothing wrong with them. I enjoy them for getting a little boost of hydration.
I know like some of the masks are like hydration, anti-aging mask, but it's just a sheet mask. Like how much anti-aging could you put in a sheet mask? Am I right?
Yeah, it's really just like the serum it's sitting in that gets applied to the skin and it can create a little bit of an occlusiveness so it doesn't come out of the skin and keeps it in longer. And they just feel good sometimes. I know people that keep them in their fridge, nice and soothing. And there's so many different ingredients in all of them. But yeah, I'm like indifferent towards them. I don't think they're bad for the skin, but I don't usually use them that often. But I also have access to a lot of things I do use. So right, it just differs on the person.
I do want to go back to something you said. You hit the nail on the head, at least for me. You said you don't want to do too much. Keep it simple. I have to tell you that before I really got into skincare, into the beauty industry, I didn't know there was a thing as being too simple or doing too much for skincare, I guess. So I was exfoliating every single day, like morning, night, doing like a 10-step skincare routine. And even though I was using the best products, you know, doing that whole thing, I actually broke out more. And I was like, what's going on? Like I'm using the top of the top and I had to go in and you know what? She said exactly what you said. You're doing too much.
Yeah, exactly. And I see it every time I have a new client, almost like 90% of them say I'm super sensitive and they come in and it's not a matter of them being sensitive. It's a matter of they sensitize their skin with all the product. So I feel like especially people with oily skin or acneic skin, they just reach for everything that says like oil control and acne. But the problem with that is a lot of those are like chemical exfoliators or absorbent of natural oils. So overusing them is just going to keep stripping the skin. And in response to that, your skin's going to produce more oil to make up for the fact that it's lacking hydration and nourishment. And then it could just lead to more redness, more breakouts, more oil, and just like unhealthy skin. So I always tell people if they're stuck in this loop to just go back to the basics, gentle cleanser, lightweight moisturizer, and wait until your skin's back to normal. Then you could start incorporating more actives.
So wait, are you saying that your skin can get too acclimated to certain products, making them less effective?
No, not necessarily. I feel like some people that feel that way, they get to a level where they see such an improvement in their skin, but I don't think products can get to a level where they're not working anymore. For me, it was just, and the explanation was more about overusing products that will strip your skin and lead to more issues that way.
Okay. And what exactly do you mean by stripping the skin? Like your skin's not falling off.
Yeah. You have this natural like acid barrier and microbiome, which is like healthy bacteria for the skin. So if you're constantly using exfoliants and things that are stripping away that mantle, your skin kind of goes haywire. It's looking for moisture. It's looking for nourishment, and it's going to try to protect itself. So that's why it tends to get more oily the more you strip it, and just unhealthy. It's going to have that dehydrated look. It's going to be more patchy and red. And like I said, it can cause more breakouts if you're doing too much.
So we're talking about oily skin, but what about for dry skin people?
Yeah, anyone can overuse products, especially when it comes to like things like exfoliants. Dry skin still needs to exfoliate, but almost every skin, you should only be exfoliating 1 to 3 times a week. And it depends on the product you're using. But I see some people that exfoliate like daily, and it's just, I don't find that's ever good for the skin. I'd rather you have more nourishment in your routine than you do things that are exfoliating or super active.
I love that. 1 to 3 times a week. That's a good thing to reiterate. When's the best age to start using anti-aging products or start doing procedures or facials?
So products for me, the best age to start is sunscreen is so important. So for me, I tell my clients to use sunscreen every single day. And the more you use it when you're younger, the less damage you'll have as you get older. So I grew up in Jersey Shore. So no one ever told me about like sun protection because my family was like putting babe oil on with like, the reflectors. So all the damage I'm seeing now is definitely from the sunburns I had growing up, like especially on the high points of my face and the upper cheeks and bridge of the nose. So that's stuff I'm working on getting out now because it was so bad when I was younger. But in terms of treatments, you don't necessarily have to start super young. I personally started getting facials when I was in my mid-20s, just because I liked the results of them and it was relaxing. But like I said, I wouldn't wait too long, because if you wait too long where you have like a concern that's too deep in the skin, it'll take longer to help resolve it.
Now that you live in LA and you know, you're by the ocean, by the beach, do you ever go to the beach to like lay out and tan?
Oh God, no, no. Most of the signs of aging we see in our skin are from UV damage from the sun over the years. And it's so crazy to me because I'll have clients come in and I'll recommend all these products and they'll take the exfoliant, they'll take the moisturizer, they'll take the mask, but then it comes to sunscreen. I feel like I have to like beg them to use sunscreen because so many people, it makes me break out. I don't like the way it feels and this and that. I'm not going to be in the sun today. You need to wear it every day. And there's so many different types of sunscreen now. That's not really an excuse to say how it feels isn't working for you, because there's so many different types and textures and different things with sunscreens we can use now.
Are you putting on your sunscreen multiple times throughout the day?
Technically, your sunscreen's only going to be at its highest maximum protection for 90 minutes. So if I'm at the beach or something, I'm usually under a canopy anyway, but I still will reapply every 90 minutes. If I'm out and like working, I'll put it on in the morning. And most of the time, I don't even leave the building till nighttime. But if I know I'm going to be directly in the sun again, I use like those powder sunscreens that you can just brush on top of the skin. I don't feel like they're fully effective if you use them by themselves, but I like them as like a follow-up throughout the day with kind of capturing excess oil, but you're also getting the sunscreen on there too.
I have heard about that. What brand do you use for that?
I have two brands. There's one from Is Clinical that I have. They have a few brushes, and then Color Science is another popular one with the brushes.
I dare ask you which one you like more.
I like the brushes on the Is Clinical one. They're more like fluffy and they feel better on my skin.
How do you stay current with advancements and trends in skincare?
So I'm lucky enough to live in a city like LA where you're constantly seeing new skincare treatments because it's just such a big hub for that. So just being in the industry alone and being on social media, I get to see what the next big things are. There's trade shows. I do a lot of subscriptions to different magazines. And then any education I've had in the past, they usually will keep doing the marketing for new things that are coming out. So I'm really just kind of in different pockets. And I always wait a while because some of them are a little gimmicky and some of them are actually doing something.
Yeah, it's best to just go to your esthetician. So for facials, do you use machines for your facials, for certain facials, or is it mostly just like your hands?
I always joke that like you're not a great esthetician if you can't offer results with just your hands. So like a lot of the work I do like to feel the texture of the skin and work hands-on and kind of tailor everyone's skincare while we're doing the facial. But then I do love gadgets. So if someone's going to an event or they're a little swollen, we'll do some microcurrent, give them a little bit of a sculpted appearance. I love LED, especially to incorporate into a facial, kind of boost the results. At home, it can be a great device. I have a hydromicrodermabrasion machine I use. I'm not the biggest fan of anything that abrades the skin, but this one's super gentle and kind of uses moisture with it, so it's more tolerable for the skin. But yeah, I have a whole bunch of gadgets. I have some ultrasonic devices. I have some cold hammers for the skin to kind of help calm them down, high frequency, the normal things.
Is there any like risks using these machines?
Hey, have you heard about Vagaro? It's the best place to book hair appointments, facials, and even workout classes. They have a huge marketplace where you can find local beauty, wellness, and fitness businesses that fit your exact needs. Plus, with the Vagaro app, you can book services and classes whenever, wherever. Who knows? Your new favorite self-care business could be a simple search away. Download the Vagaro app. That's V-A-G-A-R-O to get started today.
If someone's like pregnant, I won't use any frequency on them just because it's like one of those things that no one's going to volunteer their baby to see if these things are safe on a fetus. Anything with frequency, because it can go through the body. And then anyone with like a pacemaker or something like that, that can be affected by any kind of electrical currents, we won't do that either. But for the most part, everything I have here is not going super deep into the skin, depending on the modality.
Any benefits using the machines?
Yeah, it depends on what machine we use. So like after extractions, I usually always do high frequency just to help eliminate bacteria from the skin. Sometimes after facials, people can get what I call rebound breakouts. So like purging or just breaking out because their skin is not used to certain things. So I feel like that helps, especially after extractions, to make sure we don't get those. LED, I love for all skin types. If you're really acne prone, blue light on there is great. There's an infrared setting that helps with more inflammation and swelling. And then there's a red light setting that helps with more collagen production and like plumping out the skin. So I always reach for the LED, I feel like the most in my treatments just because I love it.
Yeah, I see that all over, especially like Kourtney Kardashian.
Yeah, I love them. I use a brand called Saluma. So they have a lot of like home ones now because there's a lot of them now that are being pitched in stores, but may not be effective. Like just because something lights up doesn't mean it's going to do anything for your skin. There's different depths of these lights that have to go through the skin in order for them to be effective. So brands like Lightstim, Saluma, anyone that has like clinical results from their equipment, I trust.
How many times a day should they use that and for how long? Like could it be too damaging if they did it for too long or too much?
There's really no side effects from overusing LED. So for example, I have one next to my bed that's like a panel. So I do it every night just before I go to bed because it helps me like knock out and just helps my skin looking healthier. But yeah, there's no necessarily damage if you're using it every day. People should, for the at-home ones, be using it at least 3 times a week for 20, 30 minutes, depending on the settings. That's why I like the one I have at home because I just put it over my face and pass out. Because the ones at home tend to be weaker. So you have to use them more often to see the results. And then also with the mask, one, people just need to be careful of their eyes because other ones you'll put something over your eyes and then put the LED panel on where some of the mask, I feel like the light is going too close to the eye and they're keeping their eyes open. So that could potentially down the road cause issues with their eyes.
Who would leave their eyes open?
You'd be surprised. I don't know what brand it is, so I don't want to say their name, but there was one of them that got sued recently because they didn't disclose any of that and it was causing like damage to people's eyes. So
I can't imagine like just staring.
Yeah, like staring into the sun.
Yeah. Is there any other areas of the body that we should be also paying attention to besides just her face?
I mean, the body in general should have the same kind of love the face does, although it doesn't usually get that love. I feel like a lot of people, the neck and the chest and the hands are things that like you don't think about. And so you get to the age where you're like, what the hell happened? Like, why does my chest and neck look like this? It just like kind of creeps up on you. And it's the first thing we notice when we start aging. I'm not the first one to say this. And a lot of people say this, but they say that your skincare should end at your nipples. Like that's your whole face. is because you want to, especially if you have this out in the sun, it's going to be getting all that sun damage. And then when everything starts losing elasticity, you'll see the sagging here first because it's way thinner, like on the neck, than the face. And that kind of just goes into the chest area. So I always tell people, at the very least, your skincare should be coming down onto the neck to prevent those issues.
We're like talking like moisturizer, toner.
If I'm using like acid treatments or something, I usually go down my chest and my neck just to make sure I'm getting all the areas. And then for the rest of the body, I use some exfoliants like in the shower or outside the shower. I just keep it moisturized. And that's really all I do for the body. Unless I'm going to be outside in the sun, then I put sunscreen everywhere.
Okay. So, but for your hands, just like lotion is good.
I always say sunscreen. I keep sunscreen with me when I go into the car and I'll just apply some to the back of my hands because that's really where all the damage is coming from, especially if you're driving every day. That's why a lot of people, like my husband's Indonesian, and he said like when he grew up, all his females in his family, when they drove, they would put like a blanket over their hands so it wouldn't get darker when they were driving in the car. Same reason people use umbrellas when it's sunny out. Like, it's smart. I don't go to that level, but yeah.
I know. You know what? Like, I appreciate like the amount of effort and like commitment they have.
To each their own. I also, there's like a fine line between taking care of my skin and like being able to live and enjoy life. Like, I'm not going to cut out of my life that I think would be fun or pleasant just because I'm afraid of doing something to my skin, at least not once in a while.
Definitely. How do you approach integrating natural and traditional skincare methods?
So a lot of my clients come to me because I blend more of the quote unquote holistic route with more of the clinical treatments, which is harder to find now because you either have someone that does all holistic or they do like all clinical. So I like incorporating quote unquote some of the fluff in air quotes, especially since I have a massage background. I love incorporating facial massage into my treatments, shoulder, neck massage. So I feel like when you have like clinical modalities, and then you're also incorporating pressure points and massage and talking about diet and everything else, it's a great combination. I think there's a lot of fear mongering now, especially when it comes to retail. You're seeing a lot of these like free from list and natural and clean. And these are all terms I hate because they don't mean anything. Like, there's no standard for clean beauty. It can differ company to company. There's no standard for what you say is natural. A lot of these natural brands, I see a bunch of synthetics, and synthetics aren't bad. They're usually more tested than a lot of these natural ingredients. So I like doing things without modalities, but when, in terms of skincare, I hate saying natural and clean and green and all these other greenwashing, fear-mongering words.
100%. We had Ilya Beauty on not too long ago. They said the exact same thing that you're saying. They're saying that not all clean beauty products are good for you, and not all synthetic makeup or beauty products are bad for you. And also, like, everyone's like, what's clean? What's clean? It's like, well, there isn't a unified definition of what clean is. So what clean is to one person may be different to another person. So it's actually like kind of confusing.
And it's all like marketing that, like I said, stems from fear. So it's like, look what these chemicals can do for you, which a lot of this isn't true. But look at our product that's clean and natural and it's better for you. And even with fragrance, a lot of people won't use anything with fragrance in it, which I understand because some people are sensitive to it. But then they'll use products with a bunch of essential oils, which can be just as irritating and horrible for your skin. Right. So like you said, it doesn't equate to good. Those are terms you shouldn't be looking for in skincare. It should be more about the results and what you need for your skin.
Right. What would you say, Matt, are the top trending facials of 2023 that you recommend everyone at least try it?
I have been doing a lot more microchanneling, microneedling treatments. People use like the way it kind of plumps out their skin and revitalizes it. In terms of more medical modalities, the Morpheus treatment is really popular right now. It's like a high frequency and microneedling. So you're getting like two treatments in one. There is more downtime, but more downtime usually means better results. So yeah, anything in the microneedling realm, I feel like is getting bigger and more popular.
Can you talk to us about microneedling?
So there's so many different forms. You can have just like a pen that has these like no needles in it. Almost always you'll be numbed. So after the numbing, it feels like nothing. Right after the treatment, you can be a little red and blotchy. Depending how deep you went, sometimes you can be a little dry and scabby for a few days. But a lot of times there's other microchanneling devices or microneedling devices that you'll stay red for less than 24 hours and then you'll be fine. So it just depends on the device they're using. But the whole point is to create micro injuries So collagen comes into those spots and plumps everything out. So it's important for people to realize in those treatments that you're not going to see an immediate result because you need to give your skin time to produce that collagen. So most people see the best results a month or a little over a month after the treatment.
Why would someone want to get this done? Like, what are the benefits for it?
So just overall skin, like rejuvenation can be one. You just want like healthier, glowy, plumped out skin. Fine lines and wrinkles is probably the biggest one. Sometimes it can help with scarring depending on what it's paired with. But usually when you have those like deep scars that are more textural, you'll need to do something a little deeper in the medical space for that to become more plumped out.
And I'm so sorry if you already said this. You start seeing results after the first time?
You do, but some people need anywhere from 3 to 6 treatments, depending on what they're trying to focus on. But you'll see the results after one treatment, but like a month later, because it needs to give your skin time to produce that collagen and kind of plump everything out.
I've been hearing so much about microneedling. It's very popular right now. So I actually haven't had it done because I'm afraid of needles, but I've heard great things.
I have so many people that are scared and then they're like shocked by how much, some people fall asleep during it. Because once you're numbed, you don't really feel anything. And it's not going super, super deep into the skin. The Morpheus treatment, that's more medical. That can be a little bit more of a sensation, a little bit more painful because you're kind of stamping the face and it's going deeper. But for me, I think it's well worth it.
Yeah. And what did you say? The Morpheus is different than the microneedling. It does something else.
It's a form of microneedling, but it's also sending some like radio frequency and energy into the skin. So it's just creating more of a controlled wound and it's going to produce more collagen and more results for the skin than your average microneedling pen would.
Before we wrap up, is there anything that you want to talk about that you're like, Taylor, you have not asked me this or we have not dived into this that you would like to talk about?
So I just launched my first product. I decided to launch a brand. It's my name, so Matthew Miller Cosmetics. And our first serum, we spent years with chemists trying to come up with this. So you have a lot of people in this space do private label. So the formula already exists. You slap your label on it and you sell it, which I get it for business purposes, but I didn't want to create something that was already out there in the world. I wanted something new and different. So we spent years formulating this product. Like I said, it's a serum called Verse, which is like versatile. It's a multifunctional serum. So it's going to help with lightweight moisture and hydration. It's going to be a vitamin C that has more anti-inflammatory properties and brightening properties to it. It has some peptides in there, some kombucha for more skin radiance, and then beta-glucan, which is really good at calming down the skin and soothing it while it's hydrating. So I kind of wanted to make a serum where every skin type can use it for the most part, unless they have obviously some kind of sensitivity to a specific ingredient. And this one is going to help target issues that you have now, but also it's really heavy in antioxidants, so it's going to prevent issues in the future. So I felt like for our first product, that was a great one to kind of launch. And we're working on more now. We're just in the middle of formulating and testing before we can announce what those are.
Well, first off, congratulations. That's huge. It's finally like out on the street. So tell us about it then, as in like, is this every day, morning, night? What part of the skin routine are we adding this to?
This would be after cleansing and before moisturizing. So it's a serum. It sinks right into the skin. So I feel like a lot of people like it for that reason. Because if you're more oily or acneic, it doesn't really feel like much is on the skin. But if you have drier skin, once you put a moisturizer on top of it, it helps a lot with humectants and hydrating the skin as well. And the best results you will see morning and night. If someone's going to pick one or the other, I say the daytime because it is really packed full of antioxidants, which is going to be better defending your skin against pollution, free radicals, sun, all that stuff. But at nighttime, it's also helping with your skin repairing. So I personally use it and recommend it for both morning and night.
How was the process of choosing like the ingredients of like what you wanted?
All of it was fun to me. This was self-funded. So I kind of had to put on like all the hats except for the chemist. So I kind of knew what I wanted and I would send what I wanted to the chemist and they kind of just come back at you with, we can't do this, but we can do this. And it's a back and forth until you kind of land on something and then you get lab samples and you test those out until you finally land on something. So it takes a long time to start from scratch and build something, which is why we're not launching another product for a few more months. So I loved that part. I loved picking out the packaging. I loved designing the artwork for the packaging. It was just...
So you know what? I do want to give you kudos. The fact that you're doing like one product at a time shows like how involved you are, because I'm sure it'd be so easy, right, to launch the entire skincare, but The fact that you're doing one at a time shows that you're deeply involved in each one and choosing the ingredients, and you know, you're testing it on yourself. That's huge. Like, that's something, like, that's marketing right there, baby.
That obviously was one. Two, like I said, it's self-funded, and I wanted to see what the market was like first before I was just like, here's 10 more products and then I'm just sitting on them. So I'm really excited about the way it's going and the way it kind of happened and rolled out.
Random question. How do you go about finding a chemist?
That was just word of mouth. I knew a lot of people that worked either as a consultant or for their own skincare products. So I was kind of like asking around in the industry, and the lab I settled on was one that I kept getting referred to, and I know they make bigger brands. So I went with them.
I feel like that's a perfect way to end this podcast. I am so excited for you. And you know what? Next time we have you on, we can talk about your new products that you're launching.
I can't wait.
Awesome. All right. Well, Matt, before I let you go, we're going to play a quick game.
Okay.
So every podcast I play, would you rather? There's two options, but you only got 3 seconds to answer.
Okay. I'm nervous.
It's all fun and games. All right. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. Okay. Here we go. Would you rather never moisturize again or never tone again?
Never tone again.
Would you rather give up using your face wash or give up using your body wash for the rest of your life?
Oh, body wash.
Would you rather only do your morning skincare routine or your nighttime skincare routine?
I would rather only do my nighttime.
Would you rather never have a pimple or a spot again or never develop any wrinkles?
Never have a spot.
Oh, wow. Okay. Would you rather have bad skin or very bad breath?
Bad skin. Bad breath's a big one.
It is a big one. All right. Coming from the esthetician himself. All right. Three more. Would you rather never go into a physical beauty store again or never be able to order makeup or skincare online again?
Never be able to go into a skin store again.
Okay. Would you rather go out without moisturizer or go out without foundation?
I'd rather go out without foundation.
Last one. When doing a facial on a client, would you rather have to use your feet on their face or your face on their face while rubbing in the products?
My face on their face. I'm not going to expose them to my feet.
But could you imagine they're laying there like this and you have to like, that'd be awkward.
My feet are not pretty.
Well, I mean, maybe we could slap a face mask on them for your feet. A foot mask. Right. A foot mask.
Yeah, which I have. They're actually great. The exfoliating ones.
Yes.
I love them.
I know. I have them too. Well, Matt, thank you so much for joining me and taking an hour out of your day. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Of course. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you too.
Our goal is to always give you the content you didn't know you needed to know and to make sure you're always on point. I'm Taylor Burke. Thank you for listening.